This is chapter number 2 of the Westing Game, Ghosts or Worse. On September 1st, the Chosen Ones, and the Mistake, moved in. A wire fence had been erected along the north side of the building. On it, a sign warned, "No trespassing, property of the Westing Estate." The newly paved driveway curved sharply and doubled back on itself, rather than breach the city-county line. Sunset Tower stood at the far edge of town. On September 2nd, Shin Hu's restaurant, specializing in authentic Chinese cuisine, held its grand opening. Only 3 people came. It was, indeed, an exclusive neighborhood. Too exclusive for Mr. Hu. However, the less expensive coffee shop that opened on the parking lot was kept busy serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner to tenants ordering up, and to workers from nearby Westingtown. Sunset Towers was a quiet, well-run building, and, except for the grumbling Mr. Hu, the people who lived there seemed content. Neighbor greeted neighbor with good morning, or good evening, or a friendly smile, and grappled with small problems behind closed doors. The big problems were yet to come. Now it was the end of October. A cold, raw wind whipped dead leaves about the ankles of the 4 people grouped in the Sunset Tower's driveway. But not one of them shivered. Not yet. The stocky, broad-shouldered man in the doorman's uniform, standing with feet spread, fists on hips, was Sandy McSuthers. The 2 slim, trim high school seniors, shielding their eyes against the stinging chill, were Theo Theodorakis and Doug Hu. The small, wiry man pointing to the house on the hill was Otis Amber, the 62-year-old delivery boy. They faced north, gaping like statues cast in the moment of discovery, until Turtle Wexler, her kite tail of a braid flying behind her, raced her bicycle into the driveway. "Look! Look! There's smoke! There's smoke coming from the chimney of the Westing House." The others had seen it. What did she think they were looking at anyway? Turtle leaned on the handlebars, panting for breath. Sunset Towers was near excellent schools, as Barney Northrop promised, but the junior high was 4 miles away. Do you think old man Westing's up there? "Nah, Otis Amber," the old delivery boy answered. "Nobody's seen him for years. Supposed to be living on a private island in the South Seas, he is. But most folks say he's dead. Long gone dead. They say his corpse is still up there in that big old house. They say his body is sprawled out on a fancy oriental rug, and his flesh is rotting off those mean bones, and maggots are creeping in his eye sockets and crawling out of his nose holes." The delivery boy did a high-pitched hee-hee-hee to the gruesome details. Now someone shivered. It was Turtle. "Serves him right," Sandy said. At other times a cheery fellow, the doorman often complained bitterly about having been fired from his job of 20 years in the Westing paper mill. "But somebody must be up there. Somebody alive, that is." He pushed the gold-braided cap and squinted at the house through his steel-framed glasses, as if expecting the curling smoke to write the answer in the autumn air. "Maybe it's those kids again." "No, it couldn't be." "What kids?" the 3 kids wanted to know. "Why, those 2 unfortunate fellas from Westingtown." "What unfortunate fellas?" The 3 heads twisted from the doorman to the delivery boy. Doug Hu ducked Turtle's whizzing braid. "Touch her precious pigtail, even by accident, and she'll kick you in the shins, the brat." He couldn't chance an injury to his legs, not with the big meat coming. The track star began to jog in place. "Horrible. It was horrible," Otis Amber said with a shudder that sent the loose straps of his leather aviator's helmet swinging about his long, thin face. "Come to think of it, it happened exactly 1 year ago tonight, on Halloween." "What happened?" Theo Theodorakis asked impatiently. He was late for work in the coffee shop. Tell them, Otis, Sandy urged. The delivery boy stroked the gray stubble on his pointed chin. Seems it all started with a bet. Somebody bet them a dollar they couldn't stay in that spooky house 5 minutes. One measly buck. The poor kids hardly got through those French doors on this side of the Westinghouse when they came tearing out like they was being chased by a ghost. Chased by a ghost. Or worse. Or worse. Turtle forgot her throbbing toothache. Theo Theodorakis and Doug Who, older and more worldly wise, exchanged winks, but stayed to hear the rest of the story. One fella ran out crazy-like, screaming his head off. He never stopped screaming till he hit the rocks at the bottom of the cliff. The other fella hasn't said but two words since. Something about purple. Sandy helped him out. Purple waves. Otis Amber nodded sadly. Yep, that poor fella just sits in a state of silence saying, purple waves, over and over again. And his scared eyes keep staring at his hands. You see, when he came running out of the Westinghouse, his hands were dripping with warm red blood. Now all three shivered. Poor kid, the doorman said. All that pain and suffering for a dollar bet. Make it $2 for each minute I stay in there, and you're on, Turtle said. Someone was spying on the group in the driveway. From the front window of apartment 2D, 15-year-old Chris Theodorakis watched his brother Theo shake hands, it must be a bet, with the skinny, one-pigtailed girl and rush into the lobby. The family coffee shop would be busy now. His brother should have been working the counter half an hour ago. Chris checked the wall clock. Two more hours before Theo would bring up his dinner. Then he would tell him about the limper. Earlier that afternoon, Chris had followed the flight of a purple martin, Progne subis, across the field of brambles, through the oaks, up to the red maple on the hill. The bird flew off. But something else caught his eye. Someone, he could not tell if the person was a man or a woman, came out of the shadows on the lawn, unlocked the French doors, and disappeared into the Westinghouse. Someone with a limp. Minutes later, smoke began to rise from the chimney. Once again, Chris turned toward the side window and scanned the house on the cliff. The French doors were closed, heavy drapes hung full against the 17 windows he had counted so many times. They didn't need drapes on the special glass windows here in Sunset Towers. He could see out, but nobody could see in. Then why did he sometimes feel that someone was watching him? Who could be watching him? God? If God was watching, then why was he like this? The binoculars fell to the boy's lap. His head jerked, his body coiled, lashed by violent spasms. Relax. Theo will come soon. Relax. Soon the geese will be flying south in a V. Canada goose. Branta canadensis. Relax. Relax and watch the wind tangle the smoke and blow it toward Westingtown. That is the end of chapter 2. Chapter 3 will be released right away.